It's so wonderful to have Royden and Danielle with us, and I have a kind of a heart link with them because of the fact that Brother Royden, he treated me well, Danielle as well, and had a good opportunity to learn of the work that they are doing there. God has raised them up for such a time as this. A very difficult place, very difficult ministry, and yet God has raised them up to be able to reach out to pastors all around the island, to communicate the doctrines of the Word of God, principles of the Word of God, so they can go back to their flocks and share the truth with them. And so, Brother Royden, I'm going to ask you to come at this time and share what the Lord has laid on your heart.
Good evening, everyone. So glad to be here tonight. And, you know, I'm so overjoyed to hear about God's work here tonight. The ministry in Haiti, the ministry that we have down there in Haiti, it's just a testimony of the goodness and the grace of God that is still going strong and standing. If you know anything about Haiti, I'm going to be sharing a little bit from the Word of God tonight, and surely just so you know a little bit where we're from and what we're doing. But I really want to share a little bit about, you know, the opportunity that we have, not only us, but also every single one of you. I've been having a really good time every time I get to come to the States, and I'm glad that I get to travel with my wife and my son. And in fact, every time we get a chance to go to a McDonald's, and actually that's my favorite, but I can't resist that dollar menu, Pastor. I don't know. There's something about it. I don't know what it is. I don't know what they put in it, but I don't know. Just a few days ago, I was about to take my son, because back home, you know, we don't really go out. They don't have any public park, you know, where people can go and play. So he just stay, you know, on our school, on our property. That's where he is. So we always enjoy, you know, to take him out and walk with him, and it is so safe, you know. Everywhere we go here, it's like so safe, and you don't have to worry about kidnapping and all these things. So just the other day, we were having a good time at a public park, and he got there, and he found a little girl, and they were just playing. They started playing for a long time, and they were trying to talk to each other, communicate a little bit, but, you know, it wasn't working well for him. And it's interesting to see how, you know, that little girl, she was about his age, maybe like three and a half or something like that, and a little short American girl, and they were having fun, and I noticed that she was getting upset with him. Every now and then she would get upset, she would get really frustrated, and then at one point she just turned to me, and then she couldn't hear, she couldn't understand what he was saying, because my son, you know, would, when he says something, he'll try to put a little bit of Creole, a little bit French, a little bit of English, you know, whatever comes up to his mind, you know, he just say it. So the little girl was getting confused. And then at some point, one point, the little girl just turned to me, and really she had that confused look in her face. And then I said, honey, this is what my son is trying to tell you. And then she looked at me, and then she looked at my son, and then she turned to my son, and then she said, young boy, this is the America. This is the United States of America. You either speak English or Spanish. I just looked at my wife. I said, oh, well, I did not know that, actually. I said, well, thank you. But really, tonight, you know, I cannot really say I'm going to be speaking Spanish or English. I haven't mastered any of them, but hopefully you'll bear with me with that strong accent tonight, but just bear with me a little bit. I want to tell you, to share with you a little bit about the history of my country, and I know you've seen a little bit, you've probably heard a lot, you know, about the voodoo, all that going on, but I'm just going to take you to the woods a little bit, where it all started, where it came from. Well, Haiti was a colony of France, and we had a slave leader, a very powerful slave leader, named Bookman. Now, Bookman was really powerful, a strong man among the slave leaders. And he decided that about 200 years ago, he decided that he is going to make a pact with the devil if Satan would allow us to take our independence from France. Now, that was about 200 years ago. Now, after he made that pact, we did take our independence. So they believed that, you know, it was Satan, it was the devil who helped us take our independence from France. So to honor the pact, he did the big ceremony of the killing of the pig, drinking of the blood, just to dedicate the country of Haiti to Satan, because Satan helped us take our independence. Now, that was 200 years ago. Now, on April 8th of 2003, our president, our ex-president now, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, when he realized all the good things that, you know, the devil probably did for the country, and when he was the president at that time, he was also a very strong president, a very powerful president that everyone really had to bow, you know, before him. President Jean-Bertrand Aristide decided on his own that he is going to rededicate the country to Satan when we're about to celebrate our 200 years of independence. So he did that in 2003. On that day, and he paid all the radio station, all the non-Christian radio station, to play voodoo music all day long and to have that ceremony going all over the country. Now, that happened because of some powerful men who were willing to use the position that they had to change the history of my country. Haiti, I believe, is the only country in the whole world that has dedicated its government twice to Satan. Twice, our country was dedicated to Satan. I've learned a lot from that. I realized that one man in a powerful position can change the history of a whole nation, which will shape generations to come. One man in a powerful position can change the history of a whole nation, which will change generations to come. Folks, I know as soon as I said that, now you're probably thinking about some people in powerful position that you know. Maybe you're thinking about the president of this country. Maybe you're thinking about some leaders in this church. But we're not really going that far tonight. I really want to keep it simple. I just want to remind you that if you are a Christian tonight, if you are saved by the grace of God, you are powerful in Christ Jesus. And the Lord has put you wherever He has put you, and this is a very powerful position that you have, wherever God has put you. Now my question is that, for what purpose have you used that power that God has given you in Christ Jesus? For what purpose have you used that lately? Now I want to open our Bible to the book of Esther. And I'm certain that we're on the same page here, that God is the main character in that book, although He is unnamed. And I'm assuming that this is a very familiar passage to you all. We'll begin in chapter 4 and verse 14 of the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4 is verse 14. Let me just go back and just so that we can be on the same page. Ahasuerus was a very powerful king of Persia. He banished his queen Vashti for failing to appear before him upon his request. Now, the new chosen queen that we have in this story is Esther. Now, Esther was cousin and adopted daughter of Mordecai, the Jew. Now, Mordecai happened to have an enemy, and that enemy was a man named Haman. Now, Haman was a very powerful man too. But the Bible tells us that Haman was as clever as he was evil. He was just a wicked man. Now, he decided that because of Mordecai, maybe he didn't want to bow before him. And he decided that he's going to plot his death. But not only Mordecai, all the Jews throughout the entire kingdom. He wanted to see them killed or dead. Now in chapter 3, verse 6, that's what we had. Now Mordecai had to call on Queen Esther to save her people. In this verse that we're going to read together tonight, we find Mordecai reminded Esther of several very important truths. Chapter 4, verse 14. It reads, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." Now, first of all, as a nation, the Lord has blessed this country very much. The churches in this country very much. When I look at the relationship that this country, United States of America, has with my country, I can tell you we have a very strong relationship, and it is more, I'm really thankful for this country so much. When it comes to, I mean, spiritually speaking, just looking at our ministry alone, I can tell you how blessed that we are, how thankful that we are for the United States, for the churches here in the United States. We're very thankful for that. In fact, that's one of the main reasons why I'm here, just to thankful and to encourage you and to show you that your faithfulness over the year has been rewarded by what's happening in Haiti, what God is doing in Haiti through you. So I pray for your country a lot. But folks, I believe that God is willing and God will use anyone here and any believers in this country who is willing to say, "God, here I am, use me for your glory." I believe God will use you. But the danger is that, and we know it, I believe with all my life that if this country, the believers in this country, the churches in this country would just turn their back and deny God and turn their back on God, I believe that it won't take long before God show you that He's not limited to anyone, any churches or any nation when it comes to do His work. It is just our privilege to be part of what God is doing in this world. But God is not limited to anyone when it comes to do His work, His will. And that's what Mordecai was reminding Esther. And he said, deliverance can and will come from another place if she is not willing to stand for God's call. Now, she was not Israel's only hope. If she did not fulfill her responsibility, God would still deliver His people through other means. And I had a good friend of mine from Bob Jones University, and he was another Haitian who was supposed to come and get the training and go back to serve Haiti, to serve as a pastor there. And all his tuition, everything was paid for him. He was just supposed to come and get the training and go back and serve the people. And after 4 years of enjoying the good life at Bob Jones, he decided that it's going to be too tough for him. He's not going back. And he decided that he's going to pay the school back all the money that they paid for him. And to be legal also, he had to do that. He said he realized that in a matter of a few years that he'll be able to pay the school back the money. In my mind, I think that maybe he's thinking that church that he was supposed to go and be the pastor would probably die, or something would happen to that church where they would probably just shut down. But folks, I'm telling you, I had the privilege to visit that church. It is amazing to see the growth in that church, to see how God is using other people to further that ministry that he was supposed to continue. God did it, and God is continuing to do it, even without him. Folks, the Lord has saved you. Why? Why God has called you to his kingdom? Why God has called you to be an instrument for him? It's not by mistake. It's not by coincidence that we have come to his kingdom. When we look at chapter 3, chapter 4, we see that God had exalted Esther to a place of privilege, and she was responsible to use the power that she had and the position that God had placed her for God's glory. She was responsible to use that for God. Now, as soon as I said responsible, now, you might say, well, if you're talking about responsibility, I mean, you're saved and you're responsible. Now, that sounds like the Catholics to me. Well, I don't really have time to go to a very interesting passage that I like. In fact, I might have a little bit of time. Let me just share that. It's free, by the way. It's in 2 Kings chapter 7. We find the prophet Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 7. We find the prophet Elisha conversing with a very frustrated king of Israel. And it was over the fact that God, the God of Elisha, had sent a bad famine over the land, over their land. And we found the prophet telling the king to just wait on the Lord for deliverance. And when we get to chapter 3, to verse 3 in chapter 7, now we found four lepers. And they came up with the idea that they're going to the camp of the Syrians. And they're going to go there to see if they would find things, if they could survive. I mean, although it's dangerous there, and the Syrian army is very strong, very powerful, they know it's dangerous there, but they realize they're going to die anyway because they don't have anything, so they might as well go over there and die there. And by the sovereignty of God, to make the long story short, when they got to the camp of the Syrians army, of the Syrians, they found everything there. The army was gone, and everything was left unprotected. And in verse 8, it says, and when these lepers came to the othermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried them silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried them also and went and hid it. When these lepers got to the camp, they found food, drink, they found everything that they needed. So they just go from tent to tent, just eat and drink and hide whatever they had in the basement or in the back of the truck, or I don't know what they had. And they just keep on doing the same thing over and over, just keep everything that they find and eat and drink and have a good time. And they got to verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. Because remember, what happened is that the people on the other side, they were just dying there because they didn't have anything. They didn't know what was happening. And verse 9 said, then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. That's the same term, by the way, that was used by Mordecai earlier. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now, therefore, come that we may go and tell the king's household. They said, what we're doing here is not right. We're not doing the right thing. This is the day of good news, and we are keeping silent. They said, if we wait morning light, punishment will come upon us. Folks, let me remind you tonight that in this time that we're living today, this is the day of good news. We cannot keep silent. We cannot just keep silent with what we have. We cannot just keep silent with our faith. This is the time of good news. This is the day of good news. And may, if I can use the same phrase here, and may I say it, punishment might come upon us. And I find it very interesting that the way it works sometimes people will say, well, if punishment will come upon me, then it's my fault, it's my mother, then none of your business. Well, it doesn't really work like that for God. your sin will not only affect you. I know you know that. And I share that with my people back home. And that's how my wife, you know, she got the bad fever that you probably heard on the news, the chikungunya that was going on, the bad fever that was going on. Not because she is Haitian, but she is in Haiti when that disease is going around. So when everybody's getting it, when everybody's getting that chikungunya, she's going to get it too because she is there among the Haitian people. And that's how it works. When the earthquake hit Haiti, and although she is from Hawaii, but although the rest of the people of her family in Hawaii, they were okay, they were fine, they were not shaking, but she almost died just because she was in Haiti. Now you might say that earthquake was supposed to be for the Haitian only, but she happened to be there. And that's how it works. If we disobey God, and that's what Mordecai was reminding Esther, if you disobey God, your disobedience would not only result to your destruction, but also the Jews. Folks, you know, when we look at Esther, and I know you know the story, she had good reason to be afraid to go before the king. She had good reason to be afraid to appear before the king. And if you know the story, what happened to the queen, Queen Vashti, the queen before her, to see how the king would treat someone if he's not happy, if he's not pleased with you. You cannot just go and go appear before the king. And he might just eliminate you. But I want you to notice something really interesting here that Mordecai said. Mordecai did not tell her that it's just going to be easy for you to go before the king. Mordecai did not tell her that just go ahead and it's going to be well. Nothing bad going to happen to you. It's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. Just go. That's not what Mordecai said. Mordecai said, you have to do something, even if it costs you your life. It's not that it wasn't dangerous, but she still had to do something despite the danger. I remember while I was at Bob Jones, we had on the weekends, we had what they call extension, where you go and then you share the gospel to the around in the community. But I did not know too much about South Carolina. Well, I was with a group of friends, and there were some society friends. And we happened to be going on extension together, and then we pulled in front of that house. Well, I didn't know anything about South Carolina and all the stories behind it and anything. I was just like a bold freshman, you know, freshly from Haiti. And we parked in front of that house, and the guys told me that, they said, they're not getting out of the car. If I want to go ahead and then knock on the door, fine, but they said they're not going. And I said, fine, I'm going. So I step out of the car, and that house that I was going to had like two big Confederate flags on both sides. And there was a big truck. That truck was high. I don't even know how they got up there, how they drive that truck, like a very high truck, lifted high. And on the back windshield, you know, there was like a big Confederate flag, and inside of it, there was like a long rifle. And I said, I said, fine, then I'm going to go ahead because at least, you know, the gun is outside on the driveway, so I'm going to knock on that door. Well, I knocked on that door for several times, and nobody came out, and then after a few minutes, it was that guy. He came with a long, I don't know if it was a machine gun. I didn't really stare at it too long. And then he said he gave me just a few seconds to get out of his porch, of his front door. Well, I went back, and then the guys, they were just laughing at me and then just coming back. And you know what I told them? I just wanted to give him another chance. Just another chance. Folks, the Bible never said that it's going to be easy. The Bible never said that nothing's going to happen to us. And I know that you care for your missionaries. I know that you love your missionaries. I know that you care for us a lot. But the Bible never said that nothing will happen to us back in Haiti. In verse 16, Esther's response was that, if I perish, I perish. When she came to herself and she realized the positions, she realized where God had put her, her conclusion was that, if I perish, I perish. Folks, may I say to you that this is your hour to stand and to speak for what you believe. This is your moment to shine for the glory of God. And may you have that same faith like Esther to say, if I perish, I perish. The days are evil out there. Yes, we do need to redeem the time. The decision that she made did not only affect her, but she was able to save the life of millions of Jewish people. Folks, if there are any among you tonight who are not saved, now may I say to you, please, I would beg you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you are a Christian tonight, and you know that, I hope that you're thankful for being saved. And you know that it is a privilege to be a Christian. And I'm not going into details. And just when we came, when we got to the airport, when we got here, and we were just sitting in our gate, and we were watching TV, the news that was on TV, and me and my wife and my son, and we were just looking at the TV that they had at the airport. And just about a few minutes later, I turned to my wife and I said that it seems like we haven't missed much after all, you know, by being in Haiti, by not having TV and all those things. Folks, if you are a Christian tonight, it is a privilege that you have. But may I say to you, who knoweth why God had chosen you? Who knoweth how long that you might still have that freedom that you have tonight? Who knoweth for how long this country will remain the greatest country in the world? Who knoweth why God has chosen you, why God has called you to his kingdom? One person in a powerful position can change the history of a whole nation, and that will shape generations to come. Folks, I believe with all my heart tonight that you can be that one person at your workplace. You can be that one person in your family. You can be that one person in your community who is willing to say like Esther, Lord, if I perish, I perish. You can be that one person in the United States tonight who is willing to say, Lord, if I perish, I perish. May you use me for your glory. This is your moment. This is your hour to shine for God. Don't let Satan put your faith in bondage. Remember Bookman, the slave leader who dedicated my country to the devil. Remember Aristide, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, who rededicated the country to Satan. They were just willing to use the power that they had and the position that they had to change the history of my country. But remember Esther, who was willing to use the position and the power that she had to change the history of the Jewish nation. Just remember that if you are willing to let God use you, God will and God can use you for his glory. And you can be, by the grace and by the mercies of God, you can be that one person who will change the history of a whole nation, and that will shape generations to come. May you be that one person. And may our God find us faithful in a time like this. May God bless you.
Appreciate so much that good word tonight. I'm thankful that God put a burden in Royden's heart to go back and take up the mantle of his mom and his dad and their ministry there and continue the work of the Lord. There is not a lesser need in Haiti, is there? And there's no lesser need here. There needs to be young people that will stand up and take the gospel message to this world because the world needs it. It's the only message of hope. And so I want to encourage you to pray for the ministry of Royden and Danielle, that the Lord would provide for them what they need financially, but also to give them the strength and be able to allow them to be able to continue on until the Lord comes back. Amen. God has a special ministry for them there, and we thank the Lord for them. Precious Father in heaven, we thank you for the Word of God that's been shared with our hearts. Lord, we're thankful for the testimony of an Esther who listened to her uncle about the need of the hour, that God had put her in that place of authority and position, not to squander it on her own self, but rather to stand with thee and for the people of the Jewish heritage that were there in captivity, so that they might be delivered from the destruction that was planned for them. And Lord, we're so thankful tonight that we can read of the record of her life, that she gave herself to that cause and you mightily raised up a deliverance for your people. And Lord, I pray for Royden and Danielle as they minister in Haiti and as we minister here in Milton. Lord, the needs are great. Their people are dying and going to hell every day. And we have an opportunity to share with them the greatest and best news that Jesus Christ has died for their sin. And that there is no need for them to go to hell, but that they can trust in Him and go and live with Him forever and ever in heaven. I pray that you would burden our hearts, not only for the people of our own area here, but for also the people of Haiti. And I pray that you would continue to strengthen your servants here to carry up the work that you have given to them, ministering in the school, in the church, the Salem Bible Institute, so many different areas of ministry there. And I pray that you would defeat the devil, Lord, as he attempts to disrupt and discourage and to turn hearts away from thee. We pray, Father, that you would continue to encourage your servants. And may we encourage them as well by upholding them in prayer and by supporting them financially. Father, now we ask your blessing upon us all. We pray that you would help us to go forth from this place better fit to serve thee as your ambassadors. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.